A very good Monday. Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you national and regional agricultural news headlines. And I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Every year, the United States generates more than 100 million tons of wasted food, the majority of it being fresh fruits and vegetables, with over 50% going to landfills or incinerators. What if there was a company using advanced technologies and sustainable infrastructure to prevent wasted food and close the loop? That's the mission of Divert, a company offering an end-to-end solution that prevents waste by maximizing the freshness of food, recovers edible food to serve communities in need, and converts wasted food into renewable energy. Divert's co-founder and CEO, Ryan Begin, will share the company's role in addressing a human and environmental crisis created by wasted food as a keynote presenter at Organic Produce Summit 2023 in a session titled Protecting the Value of Food, Learning to Value Food at All Stages of Its Life Cycle, from Seed to Wasted Food to Renewable Energy. Divert works with more than 5,400 retail stores across the U.S., helping them to reach their sustainability goals. Working with major retailers like Albertsons and Target, it has enabled stores to decrease wasted food and reduce shrink. Divert removes 900 million pounds of carbon annually by preventing wasted food from reaching landfills and instead converting it into renewable energy, according to the company. The company is also committed to recovering and donating edible food to communities in need, with nearly 11 million pounds of food donated since 2018. OPS 2023 brings together organic fresh produce growers, shippers, and processors with retailers and buying organizations from across North America. The seventh annual event will be held July 12th and 13th at the Monterey Conference Center in Monterey, California. In addition to the keynote presentation, educational sessions at OPS 2023 will focus on sustainability, the growing importance of controlled environment agriculture, new organic rules and regulations, the power of plants and organic produce sales, and changing consumer purchasing behavior in an era of inflation. OPS 2023 will also include field tours for qualified retailers and buyers and a sold-out trade show floor featuring over 170 producers and processors of organic fresh produce. For more information, log on to organicproducesummit.com. University of California Merced researchers will discuss the campus's experimental smart farm as well as pressing agricultural issues at a one-day summit later this month at California State University, Fresno. The summit, called What is the Future of Agriculture in California, is free to attend either in person or virtually and will be on March 30th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's sponsored by the Maddie Institute in partnership with UC Merced, Livermore Lab Foundation, Fresno State, CSU Bakersfield, CSU Stanislaus, and Climate Now. The summit will address the current and future climate reality for the greater San Joaquin Valley, as well as the opportunities and challenges ahead. The Maddie Institute, named for longtime California legislator Kenneth L. Maddie, is a nonprofit collaboration between four public universities in California's San Joaquin Valley. They include Fresno State, CSU Bakersfield, CSU Stanislaus, and UC Merced. It is designed to advance public understanding of public policy issues impacting the Valley and support student development in government and public policy careers. Sessions led by the participating universities are planned to delve into topics including sustainable groundwater management, the economics of agriculture, and climate smart practices. UC Merced professor Tom Harmon, who co-leads a smart farm, will moderate a panel discussion of the project, including research into new technologies, new ways to gather, manage, and assess soil and water data, and ways to reduce farm costs while supporting better working conditions and higher yields. Taking part in the panel will be smart farm coordinator Danny Royer, graduate student and researcher Humberto Flores Landeros, and Center for Information Technology Research in the Interest of Society Executive Director Leah Bernacci. all from UC Merced, as well as Pauline Cantor of FarmWise, a Bay Area farm robotics company. Another UC Merced researcher, PhD candidate Jose Rodriguez Flores, will take part in a panel discussion on profitable repurposing of agricultural lands. And California Secretary of Food and Agriculture Karen Ross will provide the keynote address. The summit will also serve as a forum for ranchers, farmers, academics, corporations, and government representatives to discuss and plan what California agriculture might look like in 2045, the year when the state of California has committed to reaching net neutral greenhouse gas emissions. An industry-focused panel with representatives from several major and mid-sized producers will address specific challenges. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory soil scientist Jennifer Pratt Ridge will provide an overview of the natural land solutions, as well as emerging carbon-friendly technologies designed to reduce CO2 in the atmosphere. Once again, the event is free and open to the public and will be held at the Satellite Student Union at Fresno State. For more information and to register, go to fresno.climatenowevents.com. California Women for Agriculture chose Tehachapi for its March statewide meeting. Founded in 1975 in Coachella Valley, the women are a diverse mix representing many facets of California agriculture. Growers, shippers, suppliers, finance providers, educators, farmers, and ranchers who all have a stake in the continued success of agriculture in California met and shared information and concerns about the current and future status of California agriculture. Included in their two-day visit was a welcome by Tehachapi Chamber of Commerce President Jeanette Power. As an agricultural community, she says they are well aware of the fine work that the organization does in promoting not just agriculture in general, but women in California farming in particular. Also on the schedule was a tour of the Tehachapi Railroad Museum, Bright Creek Farms, a local grape grower, and wine bottler Tehachapi Winery. They also held a formal business meeting and had guest speakers Maria Redout Orozco from the UC Cooperative Extension and field representative Perry Finzel from Representative Kevin McCarthy's Kern County office to discuss the status of California farming. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey provides data from one of the Sierra Nevada mountain snow gauges to illustrate the above normal snowpack levels in that range this winter.
One station that has been keeping snow records for a long, long time is the Central Sierra Snow Lab. That's located at famed Donner Pass. So far this winter at the Central Sierra Snow Lab, they have accumulated 638 inches of snow, which is putting them into all-time record territory for that location. So it has truly been a winter to remember for the Sierra Nevada. We're not done yet. We still have another big storm underway now. More storms coming for the rest of March. So we are getting close to where we could be looking at approaching some of the all-time records for snow accumulations and the higher elevations. Many of those records set during the winter of 1982-83.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
The abundance of rain California has received as of recent has been both good and bad for tree nut growers in the state. Rampant flooding has proven difficult for completing tasks in orchards, but the excess water can delay normally scheduled irrigations farther into the season. One thing not to be forgotten is the nutrients that the trees still need, and CCA Rich Kreps, a tree nut grower himself, said a plan is needed to address nutrition during this unusual time.
I've got 40 acres, but yet when you manage tens of thousands for other people, or at least help them in the consulting aspect, I'm such a small portion on my 40, but it allows me to do some experimentation out there and then still maybe take more measurements than I would on my own plate, than I would on others, which is kind of nice and maybe gives me a little more insight. But it's in seeing the acres that we see, and we've already driven and tried to walk through this rainy season, now that we're even getting more rain, which is a beautiful thing. We're seeing some pretty solid leaching fractions, which we need bad after 4 years of drought, five, depending on, you know, what part of the state you're in. And even just a month ago, I think we were still extreme drought on some of the state charts because people hadn't actually considered that we were out of drought at this point. That would be a little bit of the bad, I think, is we haven't changed our plan soon enough. And we're still probably not storing enough water. It looks like San Luis is getting a little bit more love now. And they've ramped the pumps up finally after the initial flush that happened in January. Now this February water is going to get captured. But the ground's cleaning up. We are getting rid of some of the detrimental salts. When we talk about salt, usually everyone's talking about sodium. If they think about the other ionic part of that in chloride, sodium chloride being table salt, that's usually what people say when they're cleaning up the ground and talking about salts. But generally, every fertilizer you put on is a salt. Soil amendments, gypsum, calcium sulfate, right? That's a salt. Ammonia sulfate, in your fertilizer, calcium nitrate, those are all salts that have different salinity indexes. But a lot of that has been cleaned up, which is a good thing. The bad thing is some crops like pistachios don't like wet feet. If you have really sandy ground, you may have leached out more nutrients than you wanted. So you've lost some of what was there that could be captured this season. So we do have some good and bad, but each field is different. So it's really important to talk to your crop advisor, your PCA, your manager, your irrigator, get everyone on board and develop a plan for what you have in your specific soil and then how you're going to attack it.
Krebs is stressing this to growers right now, the need to make a plan given the abundance of water and how it changes some strategies surrounding fertilization. Krebs explained what really happens when trees receive too much water, both naturally occurring and from irrigation sets.
If you don't have a nutrition plan or a water plan, you're either still shooting in the dark or you're just saying to yourself, I just hope the same thing happens again. And if you've had detrimental results, and you keep doing the same thing, you're putting yourself into a state of insanity. So a plan is very important to make sure you know when you're going to put water on, when you're going to fertigate, which is a big deal. And then you've got to think about what the trees are feeling themselves. So like pistachios not liking wet feet, with as much water as they're getting now, we may be extended 3 or 4 weeks before we have to start irrigating. But when we start irrigating, that doesn't mean instantly we're going into 24 and 48 hour sets. And same thing with almonds through bloom. You may be running four hour sets or 5 hour sets. It's got to be specific to your field. And then you also have to know your soil. Look and see how fast the water is going down. See what the deep water looks like, how much is subbing up when it gets warmer and drier. So you know what you're putting on and you're actually achieving the goal that is the initial attempt and what you're planning doing in the first place. So starting the season lighter, smaller sets, maybe a little bit more often. Keeping the deep water from subbing up will keep it in the ground longer before it dries down. And then you also won't be putting on so much water in one big slug that your roots just sit there for 2 days in an anaerobic state with all the bad bacteria now being able to flourish while the good stuff kind of gets killed off and the roots get a little soggy. So definitely make a plan, know where your water's moving, and then figure out how you're going to get that water where it needs to be, and then how you'll get specific fertilizer to that point.
To Krebs's point of pistachios not faring well with wet feet, almonds and walnuts fare differently in these scenarios and thus require a different plan of action.
Low ground is typical planting for walnuts. They love river bottoms. They love sandy ground. Almonds, we're typically on our best soils. So you have better drainage and you typically, have a better profile. You might have a better nutrient load, more loam than you have sand. In an almond orchard or a walnut orchard as opposed to pistachios where they started getting planted on more marginal ground. So I think the soils make a big difference, but also the fact that pistachios are a desert plant. They're made to survive and you cannot water pistachios for a couple years and bring them back. They're not going to yield the same right away and may never have come back to full capacity, but they will come back. Almonds are going to die. So the crops are so different that I think you have to have a plan specific to your crop.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
In national agricultural news today, Senators Michael Bennett, a Democrat from Colorado, and Roger Marshall, a Republican from Kansas, have introduced the Advancing Cutting Edge Agriculture Act to support high-risk, high-reward agricultural research and development at USDA. The sponsors say the act will help secure America's food supply and give farmers and ranchers the tools to meet the challenges of the 21st century. Bennett notes that family farmers and ranchers face persistent drought, higher costs, extreme weather, and increased global competition, saying that makes it more important than ever to invest in cutting-edge research to spur agricultural breakthroughs, including practices to conserve water and cut greenhouse gas emissions. Companion legislation will be introduced into the House. Helios Artificial Intelligence Incorporated has launched the open beta of its platform that will identify agricultural supply chain disruptions ahead of time. The company's founder and CEO says they've created a one-stop platform for agricultural importers to understand the risks to their supply chain and get ahead of their competitors. The AI platform will eventually predict supply availability ahead of a company's competitors and find alternative suppliers before they do. It identifies climate and economic risks to yields and works with supply chain partners to mitigate them before it's too late. The AI will also provide actionable input into the negotiation process with insights and access to billions of data points. Existing customers are seeing good results so far. William Hovis, who used to be with Coca-Cola, says when suppliers missed deliveries, the company was missing sales. Helios provides companies with actionable insights to help them get ahead of competitors. USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau reminds producers and operators that the deadline to sign up for the next General Conservation Reserve program is on April 7th.
Thinking about changing the nature of production for your farmland, thinking about other income streams for your farmland, taking some of that marginal farmland out of production for a rental rate, come in and take a look and see if you qualify for CRP.
He adds that the CRP program is important for emergency forage sources. The grassland CRP signup will follow the general CRP signups. He says they will pay a minimum of $13 per acre for producers to adopt a grazing system that stimulates soil health. Ducheneau explains that the program is incentive-based.
I'm really excited about that as a former rancher myself. It's a incentive-based program where you can really dig into the innovations that are happening in grazing systems and take advantage of cost share opportunities that have a little different pathway than NRCS and EQIP. If you are enrolled in grassland CRP, the practices that you need to do that plan become part of your plan and the cost share becomes available that way. It's a really interesting program.
Once again, the sign-up deadline for general CRP is April 7th. And for more information on sign-up deadline dates for grassland CRP, see your local county Farm Service Agency office. The House of Representatives last week passed a resolution to overturn the Waters of the U.S. rule by a vote of 227 to 198. Shortly before that vote, Representative Dan Newhouse was fairly confident that it would pass.
And see what happens when it gets to the Senate. Maybe its future is a little less certain, but certainly sends the message to the administration how important it is to provide certainty to businesses, to farmers across the country. That's what this legislation boils down to, the effort to stay with what is currently in place. And then by this fall, hopefully, we'll have clearer direction from the Supreme Court.
Speaking on the House floor, Newhouse said the Biden WOTUS rule is flawed and burdensome in already difficult times.
This rule is not about clean water. Rural communities in the West and across the country, like Central Washington, are dedicated to clean water, and they are the ones being punished by the continuing legal uncertainty that this new final rule brings. As chairman of the Western Caucus, a bipartisan group of nearly 100 members that advocate for property rights and for clean water, I've consistently called on the administration to provide that certainty that we all want. In fact, we've led over 200 members in a letter urging the administration to do just that.
Bottom line, Newhouse says,
WOTUS is nothing more than a power grab, which would impose tighter controls over the waters the Clean Water Act never intended to regulate. Let's be clear.
The resolution now moves to the Senate. President Biden has said he will veto the legislation if it makes it to his desk.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.